you guys can have a seat. 8 o'clock, you guys excited to be at Revive tonight? There we go. I like that energy. I like that energy. If you are a first-time guest, my name is Luke Kinsey. I am a pastor at a church called Christ Place Church, and we have two campuses. Our main campus is in Oakwood, Georgia, and our North Campus, which is what we are based out of, meets in the North Hall Community Center. And we are a college ministry, but we're actually a church that has created an opportunity to reach the next generation because we feel like the only way to disciple the next generation is, or not the only way, but one of the main ways to disciple the next generation is through the local church. So if you do not have a church home, we would love to connect with you and get you involved with us at Christ Place North. But if you've been here a long time, you know where we are. And if you're a guest, we are in Psalm chapter 23. We're in Psalm 23, so go ahead and turn there in your Bibles. This is week two of a series that we're calling The Shepherd. And our big focus for the whole series is to trust the good shepherd. It's to trust the good shepherd. Last week, we talked about how we need to trust the good shepherd because he leads us. He leads us to satisfaction, and he leads us down paths or to righteousness. So we read through verses 1, 2, and 3 of last week. Tonight, we're going to be in only one verse. We're going to be in verse 4. Of course, we'll dive into a little bit of what we've covered in verses 1, 2, and 3, but our main focal text is going to be verse 4, and our focus is we are to trust the good shepherd because he protects us. He protects us. So if you're taking notes, tonight we're talking about the good shepherd and how he protects us. And there's a lot of cool connections that we discussed last week. We got a little nerdy about sheep and shepherd. We'll do a little bit of that tonight, so I might look like a really big idiot, but also, in a little bit, there's going to be a chance for you to win some money if you are a winner, and everyone else in here will be a loser, so we'll see that too. But when we think about God and the Good Shepherd and how he protects us, many different things might come to mind. If you're thinking about protectors or protection, this image might be what comes to mind. This is myself and Caleb Giles, who led worship. For the last 5 years, I sent him this photo every year on his birthday as a reminder of the last time we did CrossFit together. And so as you can see, I'm a little bit taller than him as you would expect, but he is twice as handsome, and that's just what it is. But this is might be what you envision when you think about a protector, is both of us, very strapping. You guys are looking, it's like, that's a crazy pump cover. I know it is. And you're like, these are the protectors of all, these are the best protectors of all time. But I want you to kind of shift your view and your mindset of what a protector is to someone who's not necessarily just pumped full with lots of testosterone, with big muscles and scary, but to shift it to more of an image of this. It's our movie reference for the night that we love to do. Is from Hacksaw Ridge. Have anybody seen Hacksaw Ridge? Okay, good movie. It's a good movie, good movie. And Hacksaw Ridge, I watched it this week in preparation for this moment. So my mind's right, we're there. But if you haven't seen it, it's about a guy in World War II. His name is Desmond Doss. And he has some religious beliefs that convicted him, really just put a desire on his heart that he did not want to hold or shoot a gun. Well, he went to the military. This is military college. You guys know, normally, military, they don't go into battle without a weapon. And so within that, he got bullied, he got picked on, he got really, really, really just absolutely beat a couple times to where everybody thought he was spineless, he had no courage, they couldn't trust him, they couldn't rely on him, and because he wouldn't carry a weapon. And so they just dragged him through the mud and just really ridiculed him. And they went up to, he ended up passing through, and they tried to throw him in jail, and ended up getting into the military, getting to battle. And so at this setting, at this point in the movie, they're in Okinawa, Japan, at a place called Hacksaw Ridge. It's a real place. And they were trying to, again, take over this ridge so that they could get to Okinawa and eventually win World War II on the Japanese front. And he was a medic, not carrying a weapon. They get up there. It's crazy. There's a bunch of just military things that have gone on, and they are, the movie, the quote says, we've gone up so many times, we just keep getting kicked off. They can't seem to get any sort of headway. And all of a sudden, of course, it's dramatized because it's a movie, but he goes, everybody leaves him, everybody jumps back off of this big kind of canyon and this big ridge, and he stays up there by himself, and one at a time, and one at a time, and one at a time, he saves soldiers. He starts carting them down based off of a rope. He does what medics do. He treats the wounds. He helps. He triages, and he gets them down. And then they discover that there's somebody that's been left up there, and it's him. And all of a sudden, everybody started to respect him. They're like, wait, this guy can be trusted. This guy does have courage. This guy actually does fight for us and cares for our safety. We can trust him as a medic. And so this picture is the next day after he gets off. They gave him one day's rest and like, hey, we've got to go back up. But I have hundreds and hundreds of men that refuse to go back up if you're not with them. They refuse to climb back up and fight unless you're up there. Of course, this is one guy, looked a little bit smaller than I did in the previous picture. He's not actually going to win this war by himself. But the acting commander with the phone in his hand is not listening to what his superior is saying. He's looking to what this simple combat medic is saying and what he's doing. Every single one of them is looking to him before they do anything. And so when we think about a protector or protection, I want us to think about this, because if we trust the good shepherd, we don't look to anything other than what the good shepherd says. And so in this movie, it's a great picture of man. It's like, this is such a cool thing because they felt safe with him. They trusted him. They felt invincible with him. They knew that everything was better when he was up there protecting them. And we're going to see from verse 4 in Psalm 23 that we need to trust the good shepherd, because all of our fears and everything that is dangerous, we are totally safe when we trust the good shepherd because he protects us. We always need to look to him because he protects us. So again, to repeat our big idea, we must trust the good shepherd because he protects us. Verse 4 in Psalm 23 says this, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So that's verse 4. That is our main verse tonight. That's our main text. And this is where you have the opportunity to win money. So let me be very clear. If you are double dipping and we're in the 6 o'clock, do not cheat. We are men and women of integrity in this place. No cheaters. But I'm going to read verses 1 through 3, so last week's passage. And I'm going to read verse 4 again, just straight through, 1 through 4. There is something different about 1 through 3 and 4. If you can be the first to raise your hand, I'll do my best. First to raise your hand and then tell me what it is, you get a $20 gift card for gas, Waffle House, whatever. You guys got it? All right. So verse 1, Psalm 23, a psalm of David. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, and he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Oh, right there. Your hand was up before I even got done. What is it? Yes. So in verse, okay, I'm going to try to whip this to you. That is our winner. Watch your eyes. I'm going to frisbee this to you, okay? You ready? Oh, that was really bad. Dan, give that, pass that back. Thank you, guys. Give her a hand. That was embarrassing. In the 6 o'clock, I whipped it, and I like nearly took out the girl that was right behind the guy, so it was an absolute seed, and I was scared. But listen, that's exactly right. So for the language arts nerds, for the grammar Nazis in the room, pun intended with the Hacksaw Ridge World War II reference, can I get a witness? There we go. Listen, so here's what we're doing. The grammar in this psalm actually changes. So we see in 1 through 3, he leads me to lie down. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, and he leads me in paths of righteousness. And when we see this, this is where we see David, the author of this psalm, is using the third person. And then we get here to verse 4, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." There is a clear personality shift in the direction of this psalm. So David, the author of this psalm, is talking about the good shepherd. He's talking about God in verses 1, 2, and 3. And he's talking to God in verse 4. And that's important. Again, you might say, well, why is that important? We're going to talk about valleys. We're going to talk about why we need God's protection, why we need the good shepherd's protection. And in the midst of valleys of life, that's when we are most personally interacting in our relationship with the Lord. If you're a Christian in the room, if you are a true believer in Jesus, we are never closer to Jesus than we are struggling and going straight to him every single time we need his protection. And I think that again shows that there is no like coincidence in Scripture. Every single thing that we talked about a few weeks ago about why we can trust the Bible, every single thing is there for a very specific purpose. Every period, comma, semicolon, every word, the grammar of third to second person is there for a specific reason. And that's for us tonight to know that when we are in valleys, when we trust in God's protection, it's a very personal and intimate thing in our relationship with him. So I say that, and then, so congratulations to our gas card, spend that wisely. But we're looking at a valley. And again, just like everything we just covered, the term valley is something that is a specific thing. This is no just random term. This is a very specific word that we see here in Scripture, like everything else. And the shepherds, they have to, like we talked about last week, they lead the sheep to green pastures. And that is normally in the warm summer months. That's when things are greener. That's when things are in bloom. And so they're on the tops of a mountaintop. So they're not actually at home. They're not on their property necessarily. They are led to the tops of mountaintops. They're led to more free-reigning property. Then what happens when it gets colder? The leaves fall off. Here in Atlanta, they get orange and they fall. Then Christmas decorations go up and it's goaded. And everything gets cold and everything starts to melt. And then everything turns brown because it's dead. And so what do? These shepherds take their entire fold, their entire flock, and they lead them back to the home. They literally fly south for winter. Well, help me out here. This should not be that hard. When it gets cold, what it finds itself on the top of all the mountains? Snow and ice. So the shepherd knows that it's dangerous and you cannot go on the snow and the ice. Otherwise, every single one of those sheep and probably the shepherd will die. So he leads them through the valley. It's very dangerous, but it is the only way to properly get these sheep back where they need to go. And the valley itself, again, is not easy, but the only place where there's drinking water is in the valley. The only place where the remaining green grass that they can eat for their nourishment is in that valley. And if the sheep stay close to the shepherd and trust his protection, every single need that they have will be met. So the same shift is for us. If we see that the good shepherd and our relationship with him is close, then we can also experience God's protection. So the other thing that I want to say about here is when we see in the valley, let's read the first part, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. This does not say, David, and God's word does not say, if I walk through a valley, it says, even though I walk. So I am walking, I do walk, I will walk. So this is not the Bible saying that there will not be trouble, that there will not be valleys, there will not be storms, there will not be things that happen in your life that are tough, that are struggles. This is God's word saying, hey, this is a promise that you're going to go through valleys, but if you trust me, you will see the other side. So we know no matter what, the shepherd is saying that you're going to have to endure tough times. You're going to have to see a valley. So no matter what you're trying to avoid, valleys are inevitable. You cannot avoid the struggle. We will always, unfortunately, be either in a valley, just getting out of a valley, or about to go into one. But one thing is true, valleys and struggles are inevitable and a guarantee. But the good news is that in verse 4, we see another guarantee that says we are promised protection if we trust the Good Shepherd. We trust the Good Shepherd because our first point, he protects me from my fears. He protects me from my fears. The Good Shepherd protects us from all of our fears. And again, if you're here a few weeks ago, not the spiders that Carissa pranked me that was on my head, but deeper, more serious and deep-rooted fears. And these are deep, deep, dark fears for me in real life. So to share some for me, it's that I would not be able to have kids. Fears for me is that I'd be a horrible parent. Fears for me is that I do something dumb that ruins my ministry and I don't get the opportunity to proclaim the gospel that I feel God's placed on my life. Fear for me is that I can't provide for my wife and my family. Fear for me is, and you can just fill in the blank for yourself. So it's not like I'm scared of the dark, I'm scared of spiders. This is deep-rooted fears that when you start thinking about them, your heart rate goes up. Deep-rooted fears that when you think about them, you get anxious. Deep-rooted fears that if you're not on prescriptions for anxiety, you probably will be soon if you keep thinking about it. Like deep-rooted fears, and God, he protects me from my fears. To connect us even deeper to sheep, if you were here last week, you know that we are unfortunately just as dumb, if not dumber. Remember last week we talked about how the cool nature of if the sheep are cared for and they trust the leading and the guiding of the shepherd, that they would eat their full day's nourishment of grass before the sun comes up and the dew on that water would be enough to nourish their thirst. You guys remember that? Another reason why that is so vital for a sheep, again, remember they're super skittish, they're real timid. The still waters don't scare them. So literally, if the water had any sort of a sound and there was a current, the noise of a river is enough to scare a sheep, just dumb sheep. And so that even deepens the fact of the sheep being skittish, and that's just how they are. But sheep are fearful because also being in the valley is the shadow of death. Scripture says here in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. If you're in the middle of a valley, what's really high up in the sky on your right? A mountain. Same thing on your left, a mountain. So what's cast over you? a shadow. That means these sheep and this shepherd, they're walking through a dark, misty, cold, cool, just horrible, foggy location. It looks doom and gloom, looks like every Scooby-Doo episode from the 1960s. Like it is, it's just, it's sketch. But in the midst of that, also in the valley, again, as we talked about, is the remaining green grasses and the remaining water that they can drink that's drinking. But also in that valley is everything that's fallen from the top of that mountain. So every big, massive boulder, every tree, everything that's crashed and burned. Also in that valley is the mountain lions that want to eat these sheep. So if they stray far from the pack, they end up dying. So you're like, okay, well, how is this any safer? Well, the shepherd knows that if they stay close to him, he has all the tools to be able to protect him. So if they aren't too careful and they stray from the group, all the predators know that they will be able to eat the sheep. So if the sheep trust their shepherd, and if they stay close to him, he can protect them from their fear. So anything that can go wrong isn't a big deal if they're close to the shepherd. Has anybody gone, it's of course around Halloween time, has anybody gone to Netherworld? Okay, a few of you. That's kind of an older person thing. I think they don't have it anymore. It is a house of horrors. I'll make sure I say that correctly. And it's a scary haunted house where you go through kind of like a maze. And there's like demons and goblins and zombies and chainsaws, and it's that. I don't like it. I hate them. I think that's stupid. But like a sheep, I was very timid. I didn't have like the boyfriend, girl. Well, I didn't have a boyfriend, but I did not have a girlfriend all throughout school. But I went on dates with girls because I was like, I find them pretty and I want to take them out. Of course, open the door, pay for their meals, all the good things that all guys should do. So and the girl that I was interested in was like, hey, let's go to Netherworld. I was like, okay, sure, we go to Netherworld. Well, if you've been, you kind of get it. But if you don't, it's literally you pay money to walk for like 2 hours through this tunnel of just really, really, really scary stuff. And it's stupid. It's stupid. People jump out at you. It's crazy. But for every bit of that 2 hours, again, I think I'm doing something right. This girl is like draped around my arm. She's like holding me real tight, you know, and we're walking through and I'm just shimmying through. Again, I'm scared. But she's holding my arm. I'm like, I'm doing something right. I look like that guy that me and Caleb look like. You know, that's me. And again, I told the six, I was like, I looked down and it felt like there was like a handprint wrapped around at the end of it because she had squeezed my arm so tight. But after hours of going through this and me just like sweating bullets and thinking I had to pee myself out of fear, we got out of it of like, thank goodness, Lord, you are good. But every time we'd get scared inside, she would squeeze tight or she'd turn and she'd put her face into like my shoulder. And we're in the car ride home and I'm thinking, hey, I was scared. Did you have a good time? She's like, I had a blast. I was like, dang it. And she said, wait, you were scared? I was like, I was petrified. This is crazy. I do not enjoy this. She said, I wasn't scared at all. It's like, what do you mean? Are you on crack? And she said, I wasn't scared at all. And I was like, well, why weren't you scared? She said, because you were there. And I was like, oh, there we go. And she said, well, I was close to you. I was close to you. And anytime something jumped out of me, I just turned and I couldn't see it because I was looking at your chest, which was big. You saw it. It's like it all went away. It was good. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, it's like, and I say this was not Natalie. So I ended up being the winner anyways, because this Natalie will not go to Netherworld, so we're good. But all of that story to paint the picture of this, if we are attached at the hip to the Good Shepherd, every single ounce of our fears don't matter. Everything in your life that throws you off, everything that's a storm, everything that can be worst case scenario does not matter because if we trust the Good Shepherd, he protects us from our fears. We know the shepherd's got me. We know, well, if I'm close to this shepherd, no mountain lion's going to try to get me because that shepherd's going to get him. I know if the rain starts to fall and the only ounce of water all runs down into this valley and starts with a flash flood, I know that shepherd's going to guide me to slightly higher ground or I'm not going to get rushed away. So whatever life is throwing at you, guys, I'm challenging you, look to the shepherd, trust the Good Shepherd because he protects us from our fears. And for us, this is just what the sheep do and what we are called to do in our walk with the Lord. As sheep following the shepherd, we must attach ourselves to the hip of the Good Shepherd. And just as we talked about the difference in third person and second person, with the shift in actual grammar here in verse 4, this is a close and personal relationship with Jesus. This is not, hey, that guy way over there, yeah, he protects me. It's like, well, he's over there. I can do whatever I want. No, it is this guy right here, he protects me. the guy that is directly, I'm doing life with my personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is my protector. He is my good shepherd. Not that guy, this guy. It is a personal and close relationship. Verse 4, so even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Then what does it say? For you are with me. This is David talking to, this is him talking to God. He has nothing to fear because God is with him. He is trusting the protection of the good shepherd. And as Christians, we should not have fear because we should trust the good shepherd because the closer we are to him, the safer we are. The closer you are to the shepherd, the safer the sheep are. So for us, the same is true. The closer you are to the Lord, the closer you are to the good shepherd, the closer your walk with Jesus is, the safer you are. We should have nothing to fear. There's a story of a pastor, and he was telling about his grandmother who was nearing her death. She had cancer, and she was on her deathbed, and her husband was still alive, so his grandfather, and they had a great marriage from what the story says. And this pastor's going through, and he's sitting in the room as she's, you know, nearing her last breath. She had passed away probably a couple hours right after this. And her husband, his grandfather, said, you know, hey, honey, you know, you want me to play your favorite songs about the Lord because you're about to die. And of course, she was a believer, and of course, that's a thing that old people do is to say things that are kind of weird. And he's like, you want me to play the hallelujah chorus? You want to play the hallelujah chorus? You're about to meet Jesus. And she goes, no, honey, it'll sound way better live in just a minute. And I'm thinking, it's like, what if that was our heart posture? We are never safer than when we are close to the Lord, when we are close to the good shepherd. If we are close to him, we are protected. John 16, 13 says, for I have said these things to you, I being Jesus in this text. For I, Jesus, have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, you will have valleys, you will have storms. But take heart, I have overcome the world. The good shepherd protects us from all of our fears. When storm comes, when we're nearing death, when we're nearing something that is not perfect or ideal for us, take heart, because the good shepherd, he's endured the world. He's gone before us and made a way. He knows the rocky terrain that you're going to face. He knows the storms that are going to come. He knows the mountain lion that's seeking around, as 1 Peter says, prowling around, trying to attack and throw and dismantle your life to shreds. And so for us, how do we apply this? We apply that he protects me from my safety by not being surprised when we find ourselves in a valley. Don't be surprised. We need to let our faith or our fear become faith in the good shepherd. So how do we apply it? We don't act surprised when we find ourselves in a valley. Instead, think about a faithful response rather than a fearful one. We must trust the good shepherd. Get close to the shepherd. Don't travel the trails of life far and distant from the good shepherd. If you want the protection from the good shepherd, he'll protect you from your fears. You've got to be close to him. So not only does he protect us from our fears, point two, we trust the good shepherd because he protects me for my safety. He protects me for my safety. The last part of verse 4 says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And the rod and the staff are not used by the shepherd because they look cool. They do. But that's not the only reason why they're used. They have a very unique purpose and multiple purposes because they are tools used for those purposes. So when the screen's cut back on, there's going to be an image of the club. And it's going to be something that's kind of like the billy club that cops use, so the police officers and so forth that you see in like TV shows and movies, the literal billy club that you have, that is what their rod would look like. And that is literally used to fight off anything. There it is. Used to fight off anything like the mountain lions or anything that would bring danger towards the sheep. It's literally a defense mechanism. Then the next picture is the staff, and that's probably what you would envision when I say shepherd. That's probably more of the tool that you would envision them with. And the staff is really cool because it has a bunch of different kind of things and such that it has as its job. One, it's a walking stick, which we'll talk about in a second of that's importance. You see the hook on the top. That's if a sheep's doing something it doesn't need to do, you literally yank it back up by that, which is pretty cool. But also, it uses, if you want the sheep to go left, you give a light, like, and I actually mean like a light gentle, you just like place the walking stick on the right side, and that sheep will go left. If you want the sheep to go right, you guide it to the right. And that's something that these shepherds would use. But another thing that they would use these for is to inspect the sheep for disease. So again, the shepherd's job, if you have sick sheep, it's because you have a bad shepherd. Because the shepherd's job is to do everything they can to protect that sheep. And with that, anybody grow up, or anybody an education major? Okay, a few of you. So you guys might have had to already do this. Anybody have to get lice screened in school? Okay, less hands. There we go. This does not mean that these people had lice. It means that it sat near people with lice, just for you guys to know. But what this means is in elementary school, normally, when a kid comes to school with lice, the teachers in the school finds out, and the school nurse will call like the people that sit right around them to the front office. Because lice, they're jumpers. We don't want any jumpers with lice. And what they'll do is they'll literally have, the school nurse will have a ruler normally, at least for me it was a ruler, and a pencil. And they'll be like, all right, Mr. Kinsey, we're gonna check some things. I'm like, okay. And second grader Luke is sitting here, and this nurse starts like, you know, pulling my hair back with this pencil, and they start literally picking through my scalp. And they're looking for lice because, again, lice can jump from kid to kid if there's any interaction. Scary disease. Learned that somebody that I work with had lice. She got it from dance, but she was homeschooled. So she didn't get it from school. She got it from dance class. Don't go to dance class. It was Abby Greenwood, Ann, so you can bully her for that. But the shepherd used these tools to safely do all things to make sure that the life of the sheep were endured. And I think, you know, there's the saying in Scripture where it's like their eyes are covered with wool. And oftentimes you would see that a sheep, their wool coat is covering a lot of damage. Their wool coat is actually pretending like they are a safe and healthy sheep, but under that wool, their skin, it's cruddy and it's disease-ridden and it's not healthy. So just like that lice screening for me when I was in second grade, these shepherds are literally using that rod and that staff to pick through, and he's using his hands and his trained mind and his atmosphere is saying like, okay, the skin of this sheep is healthy. I don't need to do anything else, or I do need to do something else for the safety of this sheep. Otherwise, the sheep will get diseases and die. So there are so many different ways, but I think it's a cool parallel. It's not going to be on the screens, luckily, but on Psalm 139, you can write this down. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, you can write down, you can turn there. The psalmist says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So here's what that means. For us, just like the shepherd is checking the internal safety and in the skin below the wool, they're pulling the wool back from behind the eyes of the sheep. This is what the shepherd, if we're trusting the good shepherd, he's protecting us from a lack of safety. And in this case, we're asking the good shepherd to say, hey, pull back the wool of my life. Pull back the cover that I put up in front of Revive. Put back the cover that I put up before Christ Place North. Pull back the cover that I put up before my friends and my family and everybody that knows that I'm a believer. And search my heart. Is there actual disease and sin that is just eating away and destroying me? Or do I have genuine safety in my heart and life? Am I truly walking with Jesus? Or am I just putting up a front and I'm just putting wool over it to seem like I'm, you know, a wolf in sheep's clothing, which also kind of works as the illustration. So for us today, we need to say, okay, for our safety, we need to do exactly what the psalmist in 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Know what's below the wool of my life. Try me and know my internal thoughts and see if there's any sin or any brokenness, any danger or filth in my life, in me, and lead me to the way everlasting. Lead me to safety. Don't allow me to continue to be sick and to tarnish and to be diseased. If we allow the good shepherd to inspect our hearts and lives, then we can be safely taken from death and sin towards holiness and righteousness like we covered last week in verse 3. So another way that the staff is used, and again, this is probably what people, again, envision when they think of a shepherd. It's a tool of protection and safely that they can guide these sheep to go, but it's also, like I said, it's a walking stick. Does anybody have a shock collar on their pet dog or had before? Okay, a few of you. Did anybody do the thing that none of us should have done, but they'll raise their hand anyway, with like the button and they'll like zap? Okay, yeah, you're right. You've zapped your dog before. You have zapped your dog before. It's mean, it's cruel, but it's funny. You're sitting on the couch, sitting on the front porch, the back porch, and you press that button and you see that dog twitch, you know, you see, and they're zapped. It's really rude. There's a point. Here's the point, guys. Listen up. When you have a shepherd, when you have somebody who's walking with their sheep, This isn't a distant puppeteer. The good shepherd is not just looming over, pressing buttons, doing controls, and just throwing us and saying, oh, they're just my puppets. If we trust the good shepherd, he is walking right along. It's the personal relationship, guys. He's walking right alongside us with his walking stick. Right alongside. He's not guiding us with some button or some string that he just pulls. He is guiding us with very intimate and like in-person contact with this stick where he's saying, hey, you don't go that way because I've been that way and I'm here with you going the correct way. Follow me. And so if we are trusting the good shepherd to protect us, we see that he protects us in the sake of safety. He walks with us amidst the danger rather than managing us from a distance. We are blessed because we have a personal protector that does life with us. The rod shows the power of the shepherd, and the staff shows the grace of the shepherd. The rod shows the power, and the staff shows the grace. And again, God's protection for safety can look like many different things. It can look like a physical protection, maybe from an accident or like a fall, so you're like your physical safety. His protection for safety might look like an emotional protection. Maybe a relationship of yours with a friend or a significant other has ended that was very, very bad for your emotional well-being. It could also look like a spiritual protection where God opens or closes an opportunity that he wants you to walk through or doesn't want you to walk through, and that continues to encourage and grow your spiritual walk. For me, I think back to March. And March, most of you guys did not know me. My wife, Natalie, and I, we were trying to buy a house. And we're like, man, we weren't really looking, but when I'm bored, I don't use social media. I use realtor.com, the app, and just like house shop for fun. And there was this house that had been on the market for a long time. Pretty house. I can maybe afford that. That's in a good area. That's cool. I went around and I like told all my friends, like, I think we're gonna buy this house. It's my dream house. Natalie loves it. It's got character. It's not cookie cutter. You can't see four houses down just from the bathroom window because everything's so close. Like it's from the 1970s. It's beautiful. It's great. It's got space. It's awesome. I can host all the college kids I want. Didn't know that at the time that I would be hanging out with you guys, but I could host all you guys if I wanted. It's great. We went to look at it and we're like, we love it. We want it. Let's sign whatever paperwork we need. Our house is not even on the market yet, guys. That's a little backwards. So what we did is we signed the paperwork to buy that house on a contingent that we sold ours. So the purchase of one was good as long as we could sell ours. So we scurried and we rushed to be able to sell our house, and we got it on the market. And after a month and a half, guys, we only had one showing. One showing. If you don't know anything about selling or buying houses, that sucks. That's bad if you're trying to sell your house. The house is beautiful. We love your house. We want to buy your house. But we don't love your yard. It's not flat. And I'm like, that's a stupid reason not to buy a house. But because of that, we couldn't buy that house. That house, that contract fell through, and it didn't work. Even sadder news is the house sold for even cheaper than we would have got it 1 week after that contract broke. And I'm thinking, God, what are you doing? This was our perfect dream house. Like, it would have been great. We're right there on Green Street. I can walk in 2 minutes to Mellow Mushroom. Like, it's the perfect thing ever. But here's what I know now. Because I was trying to buy it just in case that house didn't get sold to that next person, I went ahead and paid for an inspection. And the inspector called me, and we were looking at it together. He's like, Luke, there's at least $50,000 of renovations that are mandatory before someone should be able to live there. We looked at the foundation, and it's cinder block built, and everything is bowing in, so that house under the master bedroom could cave in at any moment. This isn't like, oh, we don't like the paint on the walls. This is every single window is dry rotted, and they're going to fall in. The three air conditioning units and the gas furnace in the attic, all four of those objects are broken and need to be completely replaced, which is thousands of dollars. Over $50,000 immediately before you can live there has to be spent. Another thing, me and Natalie, we were going through a very, very difficult time in our marriage. We were not communicating well. We were at each other's throats all the time. We were bickering. We were fighting, and it was not healthy. But because of this house, you know what actually drew us closer? Because it was a daily battle to see if we were going to sell our house, we communicated every single day about every small detail and every small update. It actually helped our communication. So now I'm looking back and I'm thinking, something like this house, it actually drew us closer together in our marriage. We healthily communicate now. We know what makes each other frustrated. We know what makes each other encouraged. And it actually made us act as a team, as one flesh, as Scripture intends it. And then also at that time, what we did not know, what we know now is that Natalie's pregnant. And so within that, I'm like, oh, that's great. Kids are a blessing. Here's the thing. That house, for us to move there, we would have needed both of our paychecks to have afforded it. If Natalie, again, were to call me today and say, Luke, when we have this kid, I think I want to be a stay-at-home mom, and I don't want to go to work. I want to be able to raise this kid at home. We could not have done it in that house. We could not have done it in the house. But where God has us now, in the house that we are in, if she were to call me, we'd have to make some changes. We would not be house poor. We would not have to worry about what are we going to do for meals? What are we going to do for our bills? We couldn't have even afforded the house, let alone all the food and the life that goes with it. And so for me, I think back to God kept me safe. God kept me physically safe. The house is not going to crush me. My marriage is way healthier now, and my relationship is safe because of God's protection. Financially, I'm safe. I'm not house poor, so to where as our family's growing with the kids sometime in March, that I don't have to worry about any life decision that's going to go on. God has protected me. And so for you, whatever it looks like, I'm thinking like, God's plan is way better than mine. If I trust the Good Shepherd, he's going to protect me. He's going to keep me safe. He's going to keep me safe emotionally. He's going to keep me safe physically, spiritually, financially. Every aspect of my life that I could even be worried about, he's going to keep me totally safe. Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you, the Good Shepherd, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even though I walk is not a if, but a when, like we talked about. We are going to experience some sort of a valley. But there's another word in that first part of verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We are not sent, and we do not go through storms and through valleys to stay there. If we go through something, that means we come out on the other side. Through the shepherd's guidance, they do this trip every single year. It's hard, it's difficult. They got to get home because they got to keep coming back. They go through the valley, and just like us, every storm that you're enduring probably right now that you think this will never get better, this will never fix, God doesn't even see me. I promise you he does because his word says so. And he is guiding you and protecting you through everything. You are safe if you are close to the shepherd. You will get through the valley. We must remember the power of the Good Shepherd and the graciousness of that Good Shepherd. And for that reason, we must fear no evil. I want you to turn to John chapter 10 in your Bibles. This is where we ended last week. And we're going to end here again this week, and I'm going to go ahead and ask the band to come back up. But when we know that the Good Shepherd would also die for these sheep at all costs, the Good Shepherd would die for these sheep. And I want you to look, we read 10:27 last week, and I want us to read 10 verse 11 this week. In your Bibles, John 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And as Christians, we know this is the case. We know this to be true. We know that God loves us so much that he sent his son to die for you and to die for me, if we're Christians. If you have not accepted this, then you're not trusting the good shepherd, and I want you to think about this and to make this decision tonight. But for us, we know that Jesus died on a cross so that we would not have to have eternal fears. He died so that we would not have to have life. He died so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. He died so that we would not have to spend eternity in the valley of hell forever, but that we could live our life in the green pastures and the still waters and the mountaintops of heaven for eternity. He protects us and gets us through the storms so that we can truthfully experience and endure his goodness. So what must we do now? How do we trust the good shepherd because he protects us? What can we do? Well, for us, we need to give every single thing to the Lord. We must lean on the good shepherd for our protection. Give God the struggles that you have. Pray and ask him to protect you. You need to give God the fears that you have and ask him to give you more faith rather than fear and nervousness and anxiety in those situations. You need to give God your whole life. Pray and ask him to guide you gently away from danger and towards safety. Then lastly, just like these sheep, man, these sheep, they're dumb, but they're stubborn, they're hard-headed. I'm no different. I have a massive pride and a massive ego, probably just like you. We need to give God our pride and our ego. We need to ask him through prayer to fully take the leadership in our life as the shepherd. We don't need this dueling leadership thing. We need to lean in and we need to trust the good shepherd. And what that looks like is walking through the path, just like in that scary maze that I went on. We are just petrified and squeezing on so tight to the good shepherd. Say, God, don't leave me. Say, well, I'm fearful, and I know that I can erase all fears if I'm close to you. God, I don't feel protected. I don't feel safe unless I'm with you. So let me attach every bit of my life right here with you because you are the good shepherd. So whatever it is, we must always look to the good shepherd. And then 27 in John chapter 10 as well, the verse we read last week, I want us to read it again because Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. We don't need to try to go and do things ourselves because we know where that gets us. If you're a Christian in the room, then you've understood that you have taken yourself off the throne of your life and you've put the Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, onto the throne of your life and you've submitted all things to him. We need to continue to do that every single day. We need to look to him and trust him and be encouraged because we are protected by him. If you know his voice. Don't listen to the voices of culture. Don't listen to the voices of anything outside. Listen to the one voice that is true, that is God. Lean into your relationship with the good shepherd. And if you do not trust the good shepherd, you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, I don't want you to wander through life looking for things without direction. I want you to today say, you know what? My life has been apart from the good shepherd. I want to attach myself at the hip and do life with the guidance, leadership, and protection of the good shepherd. So find myself, any of our team, because we want your life to look safe and protected from all fears. Follow Jesus closely because when we do, he protects us. We are never safer than when we are with the shepherd. Guys, I'm going to pray. But as you're hopefully joining me in memorizing this psalm, as you're practicing and going through verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, go through it and also this week, write out things that God's protected you from. Think about different storms, different valleys that actually you avoided, but now you are overly appreciative of God's protection in. For me, it'd be stuff like my house. Whatever it might be for you, thank God, give him so much just worship, honor, and praise because you know that your life is better when you trust the good shepherd. So I'm going to pray and let this time of worship be freeing and thankful for the protection that God's given you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity that we have to open up your word. Lord, for the freedoms that we have in this country to be able to stand and sit in here with open Bibles and be able to study what your word says. Lord, help us not to take that for granted. But Lord, no matter what happens, we know that even if we were in another place, even if something were to change, even if we were to find ourselves in a battle for what we believe, Lord, we know that if we were to just attach our lives to you, that you would protect us from all of our fears and you'd protect us for safety. So whatever anyone in this room, any guy, any girl, that they are going through just the darkest valley that they feel like, Lord, I pray that you would guide them away from the waters that are going to rush them away and take them. Lord, you would guide them gently over the rocks and the obstructions that are in their path, and you would keep them close to you, and you give them a passion to attach every aspect of their life, their pride, their desires, their five-year plan, their relationships, their finances, every single thing that they would attach straight to you, and that they would trust you to protect them the whole entire way through. Lord, for this time of worship, I pray that with our hands high and our hearts open, that we would just give you an outpouring of thankfulness and worship because we are so thankful for the protection that you, as our good shepherd, provides. Lord, bless this time. In your name I pray. Amen.